Hey guys, this is Tessa Jeffers with PremierGuitar.com, and I'm here with Robin Fink from Nine Inch Nails and Alessandra Cortini, and they are going to tell us about the gear they use every night on stage to make the magic. How are you doing today? Good?
Very good, yeah.
All right, so we're going to start with the guitars, right?
Okay.
So what would you like to talk about first?
Well, this is a Schecter that was a prototype for a artist model that was happening for a minute. Mm-hmm. I use this on songs where I'm employing the Bigsby.
So yeah. Like what would be a song from the set that you would use it on?
I play this on The Day the World Went Away, and there's a few, there's a lot of, our master list of songs is nearly 70 songs
yeah.
that we pull from, so.
Are you changing it up quite a bit from concert to concert?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're playing this run multiple evenings in most cities, sometimes two or three or more shows in each spot. And so, you know, we're really trying to cover a lot of material from night to night to night.
So what is this pickup?
That's a Seymour Duncan mini humbucker.
And do you...
It's not a Firebird, but a mini hum. And these switches, they turn them all off, or they're, double, humbucker kind of, or they're split coil.
Okay. And...
I don't use these two.
Oh, okay. And do you keep this tuned to a certain tuning?
And the roller bridge works pretty well, keeping it in tune. This is in drop D. Standard drop D. You'll see there's a lot of guitars here.
Yeah.
That's most in part because there's many different tunings throughout so many songs. There's standard tuning and then drop D and then half down standard and half down drop and low C and one guitar is tuned, every string is tuned to the note D.
So would you say
there's a
that
nylon
you're...
string and a baritone, so they start mm-hmm. to kind of add up, and then there's a few humbucker kind of guitars, and single coil guitars, and then all of a sudden I got too many guitars.
Are you switching pretty much song to song?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Which guitar do you want to talk about?
Okay. This is a Manson guitar.
I'm not that familiar with Manson.
Well, Matt from Muse plays these guitars.
Okay. Matt Bellamy?
Yeah. And the guitar tech with him now, Chris Whitemire. Chris and I worked together for a number of years and years. When Chris started working with Matt, and I guess got to know the guys from Manson, and somehow Chris put the Manson company and I in touch, and they built this guitar for me, which I was really excited to receive. I really like the way it sounds and the way it feels, and it has a Sustainiac pickup.
And so are you using both of
kind
the pickups on this one?
Yes, I use this when I want, when I need to use the Sustainiac. But there's several songs for that.
It's pretty.
And this is my other Sustainiac guitar. This, I bought this body on, what is it, Stratosphere or some kind of, online parts shop.
Stumac or something?
And Paul Waller at the Fender Custom Shop made the neck for me. And there's been different pickups kind of in and out. This switch, I think, splits the coils. I try not to touch it. And this is also in drop D. So between this and the Manson, they're somewhat interchangeable for me.
Okay, so what is it about the Sustainiac pickups that you like?
Well, it keeps the note cabinet for a long time. For single note melodies that are happening, you know, kind of part specific stuff.
Okay.
Is that
your main like T-style guitar that you're using now? I know you have another Tele.
I have a couple other Teles. I'm playing through Matrix cabs on stage, and so they don't necessarily react like 412, you know, magnets do.
So, isn't that one of your things? Part of your playing,
I miss the feedback. You know, it's not happening with this cityscape, with this deck. You know, the Matrix cabinets are there really for me to kind of feel the oomph of what I'm playing, but there's no mics in front of it. You know, it's all goes direct to the front of house and to the monitors and stuff. But they don't, they're full range speakers. They have a horn in them, and they don't react to the magnets of the pickups like a Celestion speaker would. Hmm. So I lean on this a little more on a few spots where I used to be able to get away with just kind of
controlling
leaning
it
into a cabinet. So
that makes sense.
These are in no particular order, but
ooh, pretty.
This is the Godin guitar I've played hurt on for forever. And it's got a, you know, too many pin MIDI. I don't really know what this does. I don't use it. It's got an EQ that I kind of shoved forward for the last chord, and a volume that I need to remember to turn it on. But it's great. These are some of my new favorite guitars.
Why?
I love the way they feel and the way they sound, and after that, I mean, what else, you know?
Right.
That's kind of it.
So Reverend's like more of a newer guitar model that you've been playing in the past few years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, last year or something.
Are you getting a signature model for Reverend as well?
No, I haven't been talking about that. But,
no?
I played this one and another model. This is the Sensei, and I love the pickups, the hum cutters, Joe Naylor's hum cutters. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
It is Joe Naylor.
What's the name of these pickups? Rail something, rail hammers.
Rail hammers.
Yeah. Rail hammers. The other one's a hum cutters and a charger. Rail hammers that Joe Naylor make outfits and puts these in the Reverence, and I use the bass contour quite a bit for, you know, eighth note kind of chuggy kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So say like a song like the new Ship Mirror, which is, sorry, can I say that?
You just did.
Which is very like aggressive, but has a lot of the quicker notes. Would you use a guitar like this?
Well, I use a guitar like this.
The other Reverend.
The other Reverend that I play. And I love it. You know, between the two, the Sensei is a neck through, the different scale lengths between the two. But they both have this stop tail bridge, which I prefer to strings through. And
what is this model called?
Charger. And this has the hum cutter pickups in it, so it's a brighter, less output kind of pickup than the Sensei's. And between the two, I could, if they were tuned to the song, I could probably, you know, I could do any of these numbers.
It's a charger
that I bring with me to the hotel and is in the dressing room and I record with, and you know, I like that guitar a lot.
Okay, so like if you were at home, maybe working on something of your own or practicing or something, what electric guitar would you play?
I have this one.
Okay.
and gray.
Oh, so is that your
this one and the sensei? Whichever one's in my hands, I guess, you know.
Okay, this is the guitar I've seen a lot.
This is a Fender that Chip Ellis made for me in 2014, or I don't remember when. Several years ago.
Speaking
this
of
is a Firebird pickup. I didn't want a single coil because the single coils buzz in the lights and in my ears, and we're all on in-ear monitors and standing around in rehearsals or on sound checks or certainly in shows. I don't want to be anytime any of us hear it,
yeah,
and the cycle in the ears. Everyone's head snaps. Who's that? You know,
not you.
So I think pull one of these. Yeah, and it'll split the coil, but just makes it sound less good to me. This is some kind of Billy Gibbons humbucker. I forget. But it sounds great, and I love it.
Great.
I love I love everything about this guitar. This is a Nocaster reissue that I got, I think, around the same time, maybe 2014. it sounds fantastic. This is a stacked, and again, I think it's a Billy Gibbons BG something or other. It's a Seymour Duncan. Seymour Duncan stacked pickup that will also split if I wanted to.
Are you a fan of Billy Gibbons?
Sure. And it's got a huge neck and a really compressed kind of, this is the brightest, cleanest guitar that I have.
It looks like it's been loved a lot.
And it's drop D.
What year is it?
Well, I don't know if it was, I think it might have been new in 2014, but it was a reissue of a Nocaster.
Okay.
This has got the really big neck. Gorgeous. Look at this one.
Oh, wow.
This is with us for one single song every string is tuned to the note D.
Do you know what song it is?
And I can't. Yeah, it's The Big Come Down. And it also has a piezo pickup that I use, so I really couldn't play that song on those other guitars, you know.
Is that like a more of a big resounding acoustic sound?
It's really bright and
right.
Harsh.
It looks light, the guitar.
It's pretty light. I'm not using these pickups, I'm only using the piezo, and I can't really reach for any other guitar. It's Parker Fly. This is the baritone guitar I play on several songs. It's tuned, I guess, standard baritone, with the exception of the low note isn't B, it's C.
Okay, so that's a Jerry Jones.
I thought it was gonna be A. This is a Jerry Jones,
Is it the same
different
model?
Than the Dan Electro?
Yeah.
The biggest difference that I'm aware of is this bridge. I've had this for, 18 years or...
So
it just has a sound.
You've had this for 18
certainly,
years?
I think so, yeah, something
Where
like that.
Where did you get this guitar?
At Black Market Music in Hollywood. It's not there anymore, but...
What do you like about it?
Well, it's... there are other baritone guitars, of course. This just happens to be the one that I happened across, and I've never really looked elsewhere for a baritone. This is just kind of what I reach for. I like the these lipstick pickups are really bright and piano-like for these kinds of low strings, and there's been times I haven't taken care of this guitar, and it's still...
Still standing?
Still stands strong.
Have you had to do any repairs or anything?
I don't think so.
What about as far as like modding? I know you talked a lot about having people from Fender Custom Shop do things for you. Do you swap pickups out a lot? And is that something that you're always doing, or do you?
I'm not always doing it, no. I kind of did it. I had one great big shootout one afternoon in the year 2000. It's been an afternoon. With these Seymour Duncans and all my Les Pauls that I was playing at the time. which we'll get to.
Right. Okay.
Let me bring you a Les Paul.
Sounds good.
Yeah, this is one of a bunch of Les Pauls I've got to play over the years. And I only have a couple with me for this tour, a couple Les Pauls. And, you know, when I was reaching for one or two to bring, this is one
this
that,
is the one?
You know, volunteered.
Why is
it's
this
custom
one?
And it's the one that sounds kind of the. It just sounds, it's the tightest sounding Les Paul I think I have. So it's a sound, I guess also I do have some affinity for some of the guitars, and this would be one of them. I've just been playing it a long time.
How long?
Late 90s.
Do you have a name for it?
This is called Nothing Face, I suppose.
This is the Nothing Face?
This is Face? Nothing Face, yeah.
Okay. One of our readers was wondering if you still play it, so there we have it.
Yeah. Chris Whitemire pretty much named my guitars for me so that we could keep them straight. Yeah. This is the other Les Paul I have with me. This one, this is the first Les Paul that I ever purchased.
Wow. Kind of a big deal.
I mowed a lot of lawns and purchased this guitar. And I bought this in 1990, I guess. It was the only guitar I had.
Do you know what year that is?
It was new in 1990.
It was in 1990.
It's a Colors edition. You can see where the fretboard is was split from the neck. It was in a crappy guitar tree in a warehouse with too many people.
Where did you acquire the guitar?
And I ended up walking into the rehearsal space and it was face down, and and the fretboard had come away from the neck, and I thought, oh man.
So you saved it?
Yeah, I put a bunch of glue in there and borrowed some C clamps and a piece of wood, and but I'm still playing it.
But this has a different pickup than your No Face, so what's?
No, I think they're the same pickups.
They are?
I don't remember.
Just gold-plated.
Just that one. Yeah, it's gold-plated, I guess. Shit. They're Seymour Duncans. They're an El Nico 2 and a JB. You may notice that my pickup selector is down here.
Yes.
And you see, when I started to tour with Nine Inch Nails, I wasn't ever using the neck pickup. and the guitars were getting kind of waterlogged. And so the pickup was removed. And so I didn't need a switch at all. I just had a volume knob. And then later in life, I wanted the neck pickup again. But I'd gotten used to not having that switch there. And when the switch came back, I was kind of breaking my knuckles on that. So Whitemire moved it down there. That was the greatest thing to me.
So Chris is the one who mods your guitars for you?
Way
or
back
makes
when.
It change. Okay.
Yeah.
So are all of your Les Pauls have the switch down?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is a reissue 335. It's a 58 maybe, or 57, I forget what the reissue specs of it is, but I play it on, I think, one, two songs maybe out of the master list. So I don't, doesn't see a lot of stage time in this run. But I have another similar body style. So this I play somewhat more frequently.
So that's an Ibanez.
It's an Ibanez John Schofield.
Oh.
Artist model. It's really solid, and I just like the way it feels, and it sounds great through what I'm playing through for the songs. And
so a lot of jazz guitarists play this model, or this body style.
Yeah.
So what kind of song would you play?
It's not a jazz sound. It's one with a big kind of almost feedbacky kind of with howl to it. It's got this cool, I don't know if that's brass nut.
All right.
No more guitars.
Do you want to talk about your mandolin?
I don't really know what to tell you about it.
You got an Epiphone mandolin.
Yeah.
And you said you play it on
It's got
song?
A pickup in it, and yeah, I play it on I've played it on a few different songs through the years, but in this kind of master list, I'm only reaching for it one time. Yeah.
So, what would you like to talk about next? Amps or effects?
Well, they're all in one case.
Cool. So Robin, you've been playing the FX for a few tours now, but you used to have like your Marshall amps. So why did you make that switch?
Well, I've mostly been, always been touring with Nine Inch Nails with rack gear that's MIDI preset switchable. Mm-hmm. Axe FX is the obvious kind of culmination of all that technology in this day. I did, I think it was 2008, 2009, I did tour with Marshall Heads and an analog pedal board in front of me. For the first time, I thought that was going to be kind of fresh and exciting, and it was in rehearsal, but there were a lot of soft spots and too many songs that I, you know, was playing hurt through this nylon string, through the clean channel of a Marshall head, and things like that. That it was too much.
Did you have to think too much?
Too much. In the give and take of it all, it was. I'm happy to be back to fine tuning part specific presets because there's just so many of them. There's a lot of.
Well, Nine Inch Nails songs are very intricate.
And there's a lot of. you know, unusual soundscapes to cover and to
do you want to talk
to
about
recall,
a few of them?
You know,
first let's point out that Lonnie's your tech?
Lonnie Totman.
Totman, and you guys have
Totman.
Been working. Sorry.
Lonnie Totman, yeah.
Lonnie Totman is your tech since May, you said?
This is Lonnie.
Hey.
Look at these wires, guys. Pretty remarkable.
Yes.
So, let's see. Should we talk about some of your pedals in here?
Okay, sure. So, the Proctavia I've used since as long as I can remember. It's always been my octave fuzz pedal. Really, for as long as if I had one pedal, it probably would have been that pedal. Certainly there's an octave fuzz in the Axe FX, and it sounds great, but
that
sounds a little bit better.
Okay.
And, a similar story with the Micro Pog, the tracking of the, pitch shifting just has a unique kind of subtlety that is still hard to emulate with the Axe FX. This is Industrial Electric RM1N. It's a really noisy reverb unit that Trent and Atticus used on the songs on the recent records, and that's really kind of impossible to emulate, so I used that on those songs. The Red Panda Particle I used in conjunction with the C. Sidman, which is like a skipping, randomizing, delay, kind of chaos effect.
Can you think of a song that would be on?
Burning Bright.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've always have H9 kind of available. I'm really mostly using the warped tape preset. Lonnie, can you tell us how the signal gets from the guitar to the wireless? And
sure. Basically, we don't have any audio on the pedal board other than a backup system. The guys at Mesa Boogie were kind enough to give us their excellent buffer and ClearLink balance system. So I can plug a guitar in there if I need to balance, because our production manager asked me to double the length of the loom, so it was getting kind of iffy the length it was going to end up being. And so that runs into the back of the rack. I have a simple switch there, cable wireless in, so it's really fast. Other than that, we got wireless input running into a custom-made Coleman audio switcher. Out of that, the input runs down to the RJM effects gizmo, all the various pedals. Out of the gizmo, into the Axe effects, and out to a Matrix power amp, out to two Matrix 212s.
So it's simple.
It's pretty simple. It's been very reliable and a lot of options. It sounds
great.
And we're running. I'm doing Robin's switching for him on a Mastermind GT22 here. We have a duplicate out there in case he feels like hitting something randomly.
Yeah.
There's a wah controller. There's also a continuous controller that we assign various things to, filters and so on and so on. And then the other stuff is related to all the other devices. Like, for example, we have a slide setup that's completely wireless, so it's nice and convenient to move. But there's also a keyboard controller, a Pearl mallet station for various mallet sounds and marimba sounds. And what else? There's a Moog there, all hooked up to main stage. Mm-hmm. So underneath the tray here, we have a Motu interface and a MIDI interface, so we can hook all that stuff together.
So from song to song, you're switching all the presets?
Correct.
Besides whatever you feel like.
99% of the presets,
wow.
Yeah.
It's a big job.
We give Robin a couple.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge job.
Awesome. Thank you so
much. He nails it every night, too.
Most of the time.
Thanks, Lonnie.
You want to see the slide?
Yes.
Thanks, Lonnie.
Okay, Robin, so this is your slide. It's an electric Kauaian, and tell us about it.
Okay, well, I tuned it years ago to a particular song. I don't remember which one it was, the first song that I started playing the slide on, but I just kind of tuned it by ear and ended up with C, D, and G everywhere. There's a couple of unison strings, and then any song that I was going to play on this guitar thereafter, I needed to play it in that.
So it's your own tuning?
I guess. I don't really know
how
these are generally, you know, kind of tuned. But it's written here.
C, G, G, D, G, C.
And the volume pedal is kind of paramount for this thing to happen. And I use the whammy almost never, but I have used it in the past. I used to have a looping station where I did some kind of looping madness. I'm not needing to do that this time around. And a JHS gain pedal, the Kilt. And sometimes I use the Ebow, which the Ebow and a slide on and cascading delays, and you know, I'm kind of blissed out.
Wonderful. What kind of slides do you use? Just whatever?
Well, I like them to be this, I don't know what it is, but don't know what that is.
Okay. It's a bar.
But it's got a... It's not the...
Right. It's a thing.
This pedal I use on one song with the Ebo, and I'm getting some variety, some variation of the distortion harmonics, and it's...
That's a guitar disruptor.
I really don't know how to talk about it. It just...
No, but like, what kind of effect is...
Oh,
the
yes, this
disruptor?
Is the Electro Faustus guitar disruptor. Okay. And it's very breaky, it's gated. And when I move this flux knob, it really dramatically changes the, I don't know, the particles of distortion that are able to escape.
That'd be interesting
before
on
they're
the slide.
It's clamped. Yeah.
And, what song do you use that on?
God Break Down the Door. And all these kind of ancillary instruments that come out on tables and stuff have these lights, because oftentimes it gets dark out of nowhere, or the song begins in the dark and stuff like that.
You have a lot of crazy lights in your show too, so.
And they're wireless. And even what do you call there's a lithium battery from Big Joe's lithium battery. And Tanya at Artist Relation in Nashville had introduced me to Big Joe, the Big Joe company, who sent this sexy lithium rechargeable adapter, which...
So that powers
enables
the whole thing
to,
down here.
Yeah, it powers That's everything awesome. Here. And we have them on a couple of different stands, so they're able to kind of come off on and off the stage with the...
That's great.
Yeah, and they work really well.
Awesome.
Sometimes I'm left to improvise a little bit on this, and I'm really just using my ear because I don't know where all of the string, the notes are in relation to one another. And that's exciting to me. And sometimes it really works out. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, I'm getting better at it though.
So that's one of the moments where it's like anything can happen. It's just kind of like in the moment type.
Some songs, yeah.
Great. What kind of picks are you using here?
They're textured.
Nice.
I think here Jimmy Page uses them, or you used to use them or something.
Who does?
Jimmy Page.
Oh, Jimmy Page.
Led Zeppelin.
We know. I know it.
Herco, yeah. I've really gotten really used to these. When I pick up a pick that isn't textured anymore, it's certainly someone else's pick.
They're pretty thin, though.
Yeah, they're pretty thin. I have a very heavy hand, and any thicker than that, I think I'd have a problem.
Do you always play with a pick, or do you play some finger styles sometimes?
No, I love to play without a pick.
Yeah,
when I can.
But during the
I'm
Nine
very
Inch
comfortable
Nails
without
show?
A. Sure.
Mostly. You're mostly without?
No, I'm mostly with a pick in the show, but I'm very comfortable without a pick. I like playing without a pick.
Were you classically trained?
No.
So, just taught yourself pretty much?
Yeah, just spending time playing acoustic guitars and folk music.
So if you're like at home, and obviously you love guitar, you made your whole life out of it. So if you're just going to play by yourself and no one's around, are you going to play an electric or an acoustic?
An acoustic.
Nice. What guitar would you play?
I have a Martin D28. That's the one that's kind of right there in the stand.
We didn't talk about that one, did we?
At home.
Oh, at home.
Yeah.
Do you have any acoustics besides...
At home?
No, in the
In the show? No.
The Godin.
That nylon Godin, which is solid, but the mandolin, the backpacker, I haven't been playing. No, I've gotten away with... I'm not trying to add any guitars to that.
How
thing.
Many
I'm
guitars
really
do you have at home?
Home? Oh, I only play one at a time.
Right.
You know.
Really?
Yeah. I really don't know. 30, 40.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Yes, you're welcome. Thanks for
having
me.
Excited for the show tonight. We hug. Thanks, Robin.
Okay.
All right, now I'm on the other side with Alessandro Cortini.
Hello.
And hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good. So you have a lot of interesting things to talk about because you're doing a lot of different, you're wearing a lot of different hats.
Yeah,
so
it's a busy corner of the stage, but a lot of fun as well.
Right. So what are you holding?
This is the main E guitar. I have mostly two tunings, and it's standard E and dropped D. So this is the main E guitar, and it's a custom shop master built by Jason Smith, Fender, and it's what you would call a Telemaster. So it's a 50s fat tele neck. Mm-hmm. And offset body, so a Jazzmaster body. And then I think it's a twisted tele pickup at the neck, and then a Texas Special, I think, at the bridge. And then there's a Stealth lace sensor pickup under the pickguard.
Oh, wow.
Which makes for some like it's interesting, hidden. You know, hidden underneath, and makes for some interesting sounds.
Okay. So why did you choose the Telemaster?
I had one of Jason's master built Telemasters from 2008 or 2009 that I purchased used years ago, and I really liked it. The big neck came from Robin. You know, I've always used very thin necks coming from the 90s, you know, mm-hmm. mostly RG style necks, and I've never really felt comfortable with big necks, and Robin had these tellies that had a baseball bat. It's like, man, where are you going with that? What are you doing? What are you doing with those? And but then I found myself going during breaks to his rig. It's like, oh, interesting. And then I started liking them more than the normal ones, or like the thinner ones. So especially in Fender world, and for what this, you know, this performance is, they feel very good to play. But the Tele body has always been a little too angular, you know, with a little belly. It's always like, you know, so the offset always felt like a better shaped body to me. So this is, you know, basically a more personalized version of what I had already purchased, used, and it's been reliced, obviously, to death. I'm a big supporter of the reliced look and the feel. And so this is number one E guitar, and the number one E bass is the sister or brother, whatever. They don't have...
Probably brother.
Just the Android counterpart, and it's basically... a Telemaster bass,
wow,
you know.
Cool.
And apparently the first one the Fender's ever built is never done on bass, the coupling of a offset
That's
body.
The first one they've ever built?
Yeah.
Custom? Cool.
I was like excited, you know, not three other people would get excited about this. Well, two, me and two others. But, you know, jazz bass pickup, 57 hand wound, and precision pickups, hand wound in the custom shop, and pretty thick 50s neck as well. Yeah.
So
but this has a blue.
Yeah.
The idea was I'd like to have an instrument where, like, someone went to his grandpa's basement, found a Sherwood green or a Lake Placid blue or Sherwood green Jazzmaster and an old Tele, and it just took them apart, painted it black, and made it look like a, you know, short of putting a Floyd Rose there to make it look like a, you know, like their axe, you know. And I mean, Jason did an incredible job.
He did.
So this is the one that I
really
play in.
Really cool coloring on the fretboard.
Yeah, kind of darker. Mm-hmm. And then I have my main D guitar, which is from another school, and it's one of the new Ibanez AZ guitars, which to me is incredible. The neck is super comfortable. It tapers. The body is super comfy as far as shape.
Yeah, it looks light.
This is pretty much a stock Prestige model. The only thing that was changed is that we've put a sustainer and a piezo. A lot of the songs I play acoustic tone, like Somewhat Damaged or The Becoming. And so it's easy to have it here, you know. And same thing with a sustainer, you know. It allows me to have it here. They basically had to reroute and make a bigger space here in order to fit two batteries in the circuitry for both machines. This is a Tremel No. Okay. So basically, part of me still lives with the idea that I still love Floyd Roses or Edge Bridges, which I do. But I never end up playing them. So I, you know, Tremolo gives me the illusion that I can go back to it if I want to. But if I don't need them, the bridge stays where it is. And if I need to detune or tune up because there's no time for a guitar change, I can just tune this up to E.
Okay.
But yeah, I love this, and has Lumen Lay, so it makes it very easy. to play, you know, in the dark. And another one that has my Lumen Lays is, okay, so this is my first LA custom shop Ibanez, thanks to the guys at Ibanez and Mike Origo. It's basically my dream for when I was 14 year old. It's a RG, maple neck. Pickups are from, pickups are DiMarzio's from Ernie Ball, Music Man Van Halen from the 90s. And it kind of has the same sort of like routing of both on, you know, neck and bridge. The push-pull for the split was added by my friends in Italy, Migi and Fago, which redid the circuitry.
Wow.
And it's been all decked out and changed the pots and whatnot. And it sounds amazing. Treble no here as well to keep the bridge, you know, at bay when I don't need it.
What company did you say was that?
It's two companies where they work together. It's Migi and Fago. They hot rodded a lot of stuff for other guitar players too, and it's just, you know, especially for this guitar, just.
And you're Italian.
Yeah,
right?
yeah they're so. Italian. They're like the best people to deal with, you know, Ibanez. Well, they do a lot of guitars,
so
but Ibanez is their world, you know. So, and so this is used for the more like in-your-face humbucker songs, you know,
okay.
Not for the ballads. I mean, I'm just kidding. But, you know.
So, what percentage would you say you're playing bass to guitar?
It really depends on the set list. It could go 70-30, it could go 60-40, mm-hmm. It could go 80-20.
So like tonight in Nashville, do you know?
Guitar, bass, guitar, bass.
You have to be on your toes.
Well, I don't. I just don't move. I have a little platform. I don't go anywhere. Even though I have wireless, it's just, you know, it's kind of like, it's like leaving the cage open when you know you'll never leave anyway.
So you told me that you started out as a guitarist. You went to school at Musicians Institute in California.
Yes.
But then you kind of got into synthesizers and music design. And
yeah, I've always sort of like had an affinity with sound. And I sort of went away from guitar playing as a main instrument. And it became more of a part of the whole composition. And then I just ended up being kidnapped by synthesizers, and old synthesizers, and then losing friends and family and everything.
Well, we'll talk about your synthesizers later, but you have recently kind of gone back and you're playing your instruments 80% of the time now,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
What made you decide to do that?
Well, it was a need for the band.
Okay.
You know, before we started this tour, with integration of Atticus, which deals more with the electronic loop sequence aspect, and the other part being that a lot of the new material is very much bass and guitar oriented, Trent asked me if I'd be, you know, opposed to dedicate more time to that side of the composition as opposed to the live arrangement, as opposed to the synthesizers. And I'm like, I mean,
are you having fun?
How many places give you a chance to reinvent yourself and go back to the old tracks and learn to play them on another instrument? So to me, it was, you know, an advantage more than a disadvantage. And it's been challenging because, you know, a lot of things, they sound like they're simple until you realize you have to do them for 5 minutes nonstop under lights and, you know, stuff moving. So it's a I still practice like everybody else.
Yeah, cool.
And then, I can show you some of the other.
Yeah, we'd love to see them.
I have a beautiful Talman, which is my backup for like the tele, the more tele sounding stuff. Right now is a drop D, but it depends what we need. This is just, as you see, everything gets painted black.
Yeah.
I've tried other colors. I go for a second and then, you know, like when you put them on, you walk out, it's like, yeah, I'll wear white today. And then you go, oh, no, and you go back. That's what happens to me. Same thing. So we have this beautiful Talman, and then as far as guitars, I have another backup to the Telemaster, which is another offset. This one with a Schaubacher at the neck. It's more modern neck, so a little thinner, and painted black. And this, these Fenders are super comfortable. They feel great.
And so you're usually tuned to E and D?
Yes. There's a few songs where I'm down to C, but I use a DigiDesign drop pedal for that.
Okay.
Digitech, sorry. DigiDesign is the other side of the gig, but.
What kind of strings do you use?
On the RGs are 9s, 9 to 42. And on the Telemasters are 10 to 46.
Okay, and your basses?
Bass I don't remember, because we've been changing. I'd have to check.
Kind of working with it.
They feel good,
not sure.
But everything's Ernie Ball, Cobalt, all of them.
And what about picks?
picks, I use, I started with Jindalup gels, the red ones, so they're like heavy. Okay. And then I would basically use one every song for bass, it would just go out. And at home I was using Flow Jazz Excels 88. And so they were able to actually make us black on black 88 flows. So that's what I use.
All black.
All black, and they last forever. In fact, and I feel so guilty because I'm so used to buying them and they're like expensive because they're very good picks and they last a long time that I don't throw them anywhere anymore. I just put, so at the end of the show, I go to a hotel, I have a pocket full of picks that I'm like, well, we could have just thrown them. But yeah, they're like the typical, you know, shape. They're a little slippery, so we sort of razor blade one side.
Very sturdy.
Yeah.
So you're always playing your bass with picks too?
Yeah, I used to have two different things for like for the upright bass, for this one, the
Ibanez
bass,
about
which
that
I
too.
Use. Yeah, I use this sort of for the perfect drug, but I use it as a guitar. Like I usually bend it this way and play it this way because it's easier, you know? It's much easier.
I love that song.
Yeah, this way it's, I'm not good with intonation if I look at it this way, you know what I mean? So just winging it.
You can just hear it better or feel it better when.
Yeah, because you know, I still downstroke is something that still takes a lot of effort, and in fact, since I'd have to pick it anyway, doing it this way is just not comfortable.
So, how long have you been playing bass then?
Off and on since the beginning.
Okay.
I mean, with the band?
No, just yourself.
Probably since the mid 2000s. Okay. I've played in a few other bands with bass. I've always liked it as an instrument. It's just it feels. I don't think people realize how much fun it is until you actually play it in a band, where you realize what sort of spot it is. You know, and I'm not by all means a proficient bass player. To me, it's always bass in function of everybody else, and I play mostly with a pick, you know, but I love it. You know, I'm getting more into the nuances of it the more as we go, you know, especially now that we have a hybrid rig with analog and digital, right. You know what I mean?
Okay, so speaking of nuance, you've got Trent, Robin, and you all playing guitar parts.
Yeah.
Is that hard to like balance out or know when, or you have it all planned out?
Well, I definitely made an effort to listen to what Robin sounds where to make sure that they sounded complementary as opposed to fighting. And that's always been a lot of fun. At the end of the day, I did start with an all software rig because having started with synthesizers at the beginning, guitar was just integrated as a, you know, as a not as a filler, but like a few tracks during the set might have guitar or a bass maybe once every week or so. And I was using guitar rig and software for everything. And then for some reason, it just didn't feel right for bass particularly. It just didn't feel in ears that it sounded as good as. And I realized that my settings were always pretty much the same as far as the source sound. Mm-hmm. And so at home, I had a beautiful Metabarba head, which is an Italian company. It's an M0. And I loved it. And I recorded a lot of bass through it as well. So I talked to them, and they were kind enough to develop, since I only needed a few good sounds, to develop a rack tube preamp MIDI, and that's what I'm using. I'm using a clean channel for clean guitars, and it's more tuned for bass as well, so I use that for clean bass. And then there's a crunch channel and a lead channel. Each channel has a bright switch, MIDI recallable, dedicated, and a dedicated boost.
Okay, so are you using the Metabarba for bass and guitar, or just bass?
For everything, yeah, bass and guitar, yeah.
So it's kind of, you're using like a hybrid setup?
Yeah, basically the preamp is tube, and hasn't failed once, it's just a solid meat and potato sound for bass and guitar, so that's my source. And then I use Torpedo's Wall of Sound, or sorry, Two Notes Wall of Sound, which is basically the software version of Torpedo, for cab emulation and speaker emulation and power amp emulation. We run as a brain to the rig main stage, both as a mixer and as a sound generation device for like plugins and whatnot, and for effects. So basically, I'm able to save the speaker settings within main stage laptop set list, basically. So it's very easy to be able to configure or make changes from here or from there via remote control, you know, not during the show.
So are you controlling most of that, or is your tech control?
Well, everything has been decided. Not many changes are done. I mean, as you see on the RJM, we had an expression pedal. That might be assigned to something in specific songs, but most of the big decisions, I don't switch like boosts or anything live. In fact, to me, it's much easier to have three different presets as opposed to having a pedal to come in and out, because my playing is less based on evolutions of the same patch within the same song. So there might be a radical change, like in songs like The Wretched, where I go from a weird 8-bit reduced sound to a full-on distortion panned two cabinet sort of sound for the choruses. You know, if you'd have to do it with pedals, it'd be a lot of tap dancing or a lot of, you know, you'd probably have to live with Bob Brasher for a month at his house to figure it out. So with software, it's very easy because I can have two patches and I still have an analog, very, to me, very good sounding bass building block. And the rest, taking advantage of the, you know, the fluidity of software, basically.
Right. Are you a mad scientist then, or?
Well, I don't, you know, this is the first time I speak to human beings in a while.
Alessandro, you've got a complex setup here. You've got your Mezzabarba preamp, and then you've got your digital presets, but you have analog pedals as well.
I have a few. Not many. I have a drop pedal, as I was telling you before, so I don't have to bring another guitar tuned in C or lower, depending on what the track is. And then I have a metal zone that I mostly use for the old school, you know, stuff off Broken, you know, and it's literally that sound. I used to use it via software before, and then it was like, you know, let's get the real thing. And it sounds what you would expect, like a metal zone. It's amazing. And then I have a Maleco Assmaster, which is it's a beautiful
That's
pedal
for
on
bass.
Yeah. And I use it on guitar as well. It's amazing. You barely have to do anything to it, and it just makes it sound, anything sounds great through it. And then we use an Industrial Electric reverb pedal, which is a very unique and noisy and beautifully broken pedal in a good way. That it's full of character, and we use it both on bass and guitar, particularly the new material off the three EPs. That's what we use it for. And I think that's it as far as pedals, yeah. It's a fairly simple pedal setup. There's room for improvement, but, for expansion. I don't think there's room for improvement.
Always with the sounds you guys do.
It's a foolproof rig. We never had issues. Now that we run wireless, it's even easier. The main issue we had was with the cable coming to my corner. We have moving trays with lights. They would cut the cable if it wasn't timed right. So I would have a lot of noise or like cutouts, you know what I mean? But now that we switched to wireless, I feel free again.
Oh, great. Alessandro, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today. It
thank
was an
you
honor.
For having me.
We're really excited for the
great
show tonight.
Time. Thank you for come visit more often.
Yeah, you should thank come you. Visit. You need to talk to people more often.
Yeah,
we like
I
it.
Do. It's true. There's too many toys here, man. I can't. Well, why do I need people for? I mean, I do.
This is Tessa Jeffers for PremierGuitar.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.